informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A car bomb attack on a barracks near the northern city of Mosul early Tuesday wounded 31 American soldiers, mainly with flying debris, the military said. The attack occurred when a car drove to the gate of the base of the 3rd Brigade of the 101st Airborne Division in the town of Talifar, 30 miles west of Mosul. Guards opened fire on the vehicle and blew it up. A total of 31 soldiers were wounded, mostly by debris and flying glass. None of the injuries was life-threatening. Representative Bill Janklow, a dominating figure in South Dakota politics for nearly 30 years, was convicted of manslaughter Monday for speeding through a stop sign at a rural intersection and colliding with a motorcyclist. Janklow quickly announced that he would resign from Congress on January 20th, the same day he is scheduled to be sentenced. He could get up to 10 years in prison. Jurors in the congressman's boyhood hometown convicted Janklow of second-degree manslaughter, reckless driving, running a stop sign, and speeding for the August 16th crash that killed Randy Scott, a farmer from Hardwick, Minnesota. Prosecutors said Janklow was traveling at more than 70 miles an hour in a white Cadillac when he crashed with Scott's Harley-Davidson. Former Vice President Al Gore is endorsing Howard Dean for the Democratic presidential nomination, adding momentum and political prestige to Dean's front-running campaign. 5 weeks before Iowa's kickoff caucuses, Gore is appearing with his former party rival in New York City's Harlem neighborhood before flying with Dean to Cedar Rapids, Iowa for a formal endorsement, several Democratic officials said Monday on condition of anonymity. Dean will then fly to New Hampshire in time for the final Democratic debate of the year. Rocker Ozzy Osbourne underwent emergency surgery at a hospital in Britain after suffering serious injuries in an all-terrain vehicle crash on the grounds of his estate in Buckinghamshire, his publicist said on Monday. During examination, doctors found that Ozzy had broken his collarbone, 6 ribs, and a vertebra in his neck, according to the publicist. The injuries were not considered life-threatening. The 55-year-old rocker was injured while riding the all-terrain vehicle during a day off from promoting his new single. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
About 50 prostitutes marched to Parliament Monday to protest a government decision to crack down on Athens brothels during the upcoming 2004 Olympics. Prostitution is legal and highly regulated in Greece, but only in state-licensed brothels. Prostitutes accused the government of trying to enforce legislation to clean up the capital ahead of the Olympics next summer. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen. For the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Dick Cheney, Rummy Rumsfeld, Colin Powell, and Condi Rice aren't the only fierce hawks in George W.'s warmongering government, and the Pentagon is not the only federal force that Bush has unleashed to attack a foreign foe in the name of defending the homeland. Here's the name of another hawkish generalissimo, Mark B. McClellan. Who? Okay, Mark's a dimmer light in George's galaxy of self-styled tough guys and gals, but he's no less committed to Bushko's agenda of global empire, in which all other countries are expected to do our bidding, or else. McClellan is Bush's commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration, and to protect you and me, he says, he has launched his own war against a rogue nation that he says threatens the very safety of the American people, Canada. Canada? A people so gentle that their national flag features a maple leaf? What threat are they? Well, Huff's Generalissimo McClellan, Canadian pharmacies sell prescription drugs at prices 30 to 50% cheaper than what drug makers sock us with here in America. So? Well, he says, online businesses in our country are allowing America's consumers to buy their medicines through Canada rather than paying the rip-off prices charged here in the homeland. So? Well, he sputters, the drug industry does not like this, so it must be stopped. Thus we have the remarkable sight of our FDA commissioner attacking Canada so the drug giants can keep overcharging Americans. Of course, McClellan claims that is for our own good because, he says, those dastardly Canadians might be shipping unsafe drugs to us. In retort, the Canadians note that practically all of the medicines they ship are made by American companies under the FDA's own supervision and that Canada has excellent drug safety laws. This is Jim Hightower saying, Mark's not defending us. He's protecting the drug price gougers, who happen to be one of Bush's top campaign contributors.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
as you
I was
know.
Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome to our program. Here's drunken George Bush.
A couple like that be allowed to unite. Beautiful people, yes. Beautiful people. God bless America, yes. This being election year, you know, they're wonderful people.
1992. There's a video that's on thesmokinggun.com.
Very mundane people, but...
Well, give me one little story about Jamie.
Very boring. Very boring person. But a wonderful person, but very boring.
Any Mike Weiss stories?
Very boring person. Hates to drink, doesn't like to smoke.
Yeah, George Bush drunk. You can find him on... It's going to be interesting to see if this makes its way around the web. It's from thesmokinggun.com. Smokinggun.com is a different website. Go to thesmokinggun.com. And apparently it's a clip of a wedding that he was at. In fact, at the end, after he gives his little drunken speech, he chugs down a drink. So, and this was, you know, considerably after, as I recall. Well, I don't know. But there it is. Anyhow, welcome to our program. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, M-A-C-S, and the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. I want to today, enough of George Bush drunk. Today is day 148 in the search for the person who, in the White House, who outed Valerie Plame, the wife of Ambassador Joe Wilson, who had this to say.
At the end of the day, it's of keen interest to me to see whether or not we can get Karl Rove frog marched out of the White House in handcuffs.
And it's looking increasingly like there may be a candidate who can replace George Bush and by virtue of doing so can actually then maybe hold some hearings or investigations into things that happened during the Bush administration. Or is Bush going to pull a Jerry Ford and pardon all of his guys on the way out? I don't know. But anyhow, now we have Al Gore endorsing Howard Dean.
I'm very proud and honored to endorse Howard Dean to be the next president of the United States of America. Yeah. I want to do everything I can to convince anybody that is interested in my judgment about who among these candidates has the best chance to win.
And so Al Gore saying, hey, Howard, go for it. Go for it. And hopefully he will. I believe it's 10 minutes after the hour, I believe I mentioned. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We are broadcasting live, coast to coast, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception on the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. Streaming live around the world on the internet, ieamericaradio.com, radiopower.org, 91 countries and counting, listening regularly, live365.com, streaming down from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, stream 145, Sirius left, coast to coast, border to border, and from coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations on your good old-fashioned real live radio. I mean, real live. I spent most of yesterday in a real radio station. It brings it back. You know, the I love transmitters. And well, anyway, on the IE America Radio Network. Today I want to juxtapose a 1952 speech that Harry Truman made, March 29, 1952. It was actually a speech where he announced that he wasn't going to run for re-election. But he said some marvelous things before he said that. And I want to juxtapose that with the news of the day in the area of the economics and what the Republicans are up to and what's going on. And so to start out, here we have this article in the Arkansas News Bureau. This is actually, you know, an interesting, you know, Alabama's right next to Arkansas, and Muscle Shoals, most of you are not old enough to remember, 1921. I'm not old enough to remember it. I had to look it up. But in 1921, there was a dam, prior to that, there was a dam built at Muscle Shoals, Alabama. $46.5 million is what it cost to build this thing. And Henry Ford made an offer. This was during the Roaring Twenties. Made an offer to buy that dam and build an auto factory there. It was one of those deals like you see that are so common today, where corporations come in and they say, "We'll bring some jobs in if you'll give us the moon. If you'll just eliminate the taxes and give us part of the commons for free and just, you know, sell it off." And Henry Ford wanted to buy this dam for $5 million, even though the taxpayers had paid $46 million for it, and he was thwarted in that. And a little later on, you're going to hear Truman refer to Muscle Shoals, and it's an example of the selling off of the commons that happened under the in the 20s. But I'll let Truman tell you about that in his own words. But to open this, Jack Moseley wrote this piece called The National Debt and Other Staggering Concerns that's in the Arkansas newspaper, Stephens Media Group Company, this on Monday, December 8th. He says, "I'd like to talk to you about that $23,467 that you owe. In addition to the compounded interest on that debt, of course, you can expect the total amount due from you, your spouse, and each of your offspring to more than triple in the next 10 years, that $23,000. He goes on to point out he's not talking about your credit card debt. He's talking about the amount of money that George Bush has borrowed in your name and that you, not George Bush, will have to pay back. He goes on to say this country will spend 25% more money than it collects every year for the next 10 years. That's given the current Bush budgets. You get that? We're spending 25% more money than we collect every year for the next 10 years. A huge share of that will be in payments on our government's borrowed debts. In other words, that $400 check some of us got from Uncle Sam, along with a reduction in our tax rates, will end up costing each of us something in excess of $65,000 apiece." Now to Harry Truman, back on March 29th, 1952.
"Now I want to say something very important to you about this issue of morality in government. I stand for honest government. I've worked for it. I've probably done more for it than any other president."
This was the Jackson Jefferson Day dinner that he was speaking at, a fundraiser, $100 plate fundraiser.
"Any other president to reorganize the government on an efficient basis and to extend the civil service merit system. I hate corruption not only because it is bad in itself, but also because it is the deadly enemy of all things the Democratic Party has been doing all these years. I hate corruption everywhere, but I hate it most of all in the Democratic officeholder, because that is a betrayal of all that the Democratic Party stands for.
And now he really starts to wind it up and get into it here. Harry Truman, President of the United States, 52.
Here's the reason. To me, morality in government means more than a mere absence of wrongdoing. It means a government that is fair to all. I think it is just as immoral for the Congress to enact special tax favors into law as it is for a tax official to connive in a crooked tax return.
Whoa, did you get that? Harry Truman, President of the United States in 1952, said it is just as immoral. It is, if you've got a tax preparer, if you've got a bookkeeper who's putting together a phony tax return, that's a crime. And Harry Truman says if Congress passes laws that give special breaks to special interests, it's the same kind of crime. He continues.
It is just as immoral to use the lawmaking power of the government to enrich the few at the expense of the many as it is to steal money from the public treasury. That is stealing money from the public treasury. All of us know, of course, about the scandals and corruption of the Republican office holders in the 1920s.
This is what I mentioned earlier, the Teapot Dome scandal with Albert Fall, the Secretary of, as I recall, the Secretary of the Treasury at the time, and the Henry Ford deal with Muscle Shoals, where they were trying to turn over to private corporations public lands.
But to my mind, the Veterans Administration scandals in those days and the Teapot Dome steal were no worse, no more immoral than the tax laws of Andrew Mellon or the attempt to sell Muscle Shoals to private owners.
The tax laws of Andrew Mellon was tax breaks for the rich, basically. He says that's immoral.
The legislation that favored the greed of monopoly and the trickery of Wall Street was a form of corruption that did the country four times as much harm as Teapot Dome ever did.
Yeah, the legislation.
Private selfish interests are always trying to corrupt the government in this way. Powerful financial groups are always trying to get favors for themselves. Now, the Democratic administration has been fighting against these efforts to corrupt the powers of government. We haven't always won, but we have never surrendered, and we never will.
And where have the Republicans been in this, Mr. Truman?
For all these years, we've been fighting to use our natural resources for the benefit of the public, to develop our forests and our public oil reserves and our water power for the benefit of all, to raise the incomes of all our citizens, to protect the farmer and the worker against the power of monopoly. And where have the Republicans been in this fight for morality in government? Do they come out and vote with us to keep the special interests from robbing the public? Not at all. Most of them are on the other side.
And therein lies the problem. So, just curious. Oh, in fact, the Arkansas News Bureau article, he goes on to say, Iraq is not Europe and George W. Bush is not Harry S. Truman. You know, everybody's trying to make, or everybody, the Republicans are trying to make all these parallels between rebuilding Iraq and the Marshall Plan. And he goes on to say, you know, Iraq is not Europe. The Marshall Plan was a very different thing. And George W. Bush is not Harry S. Truman. Truman was a dedicated foe of war profiteering. A dedicated foe of it. Today, America's corporations that contributed more than $500,000 to Bush's election campaign in 2000 have been awarded, more than $8 billion in contracts to rebuild Iraq with our money. There were no bids for these projects, of course. The Marshall Plan of the 1940s was administered by an agency independent of the White House to avoid even the appearance of political favoritism. The rebuilding of Iraq, however, remains firmly under White House control. Europe was rebuilt the way the Europeans wanted it done. But in Iraq, Americans have rejected one suggestion after another from the Iraqi Governing Council. For instance, when the telephone system collapsed, enterprising Iraqis started a cell phone system that was working very well. The U.S. ordered it shut down. I might add it was ordered shut down because we had sold rights to the Iraqi telephone system to an American company. And that American company didn't want any upstart competitors. Ruinous, dangerous competition from entrepreneurs in Iraq. No, we can't have that. That's not the Republican way. It's not just the Republicans. I mean, there's conservative Democrats who are in on this as well. This is not the conservative way, we should say. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Stay tuned.
I had a bad headache. I tried Advil Liquigels. They work faster than Tylenol.
I needed stronger medicine, and Advil Liquigels get that medicine to my headache faster.
I get better relief with Advil Liquigels.
Every day, more people are choosing Advil Liquigels to relieve tough headache pain. Advil has these advanced capsules with liquid medicine inside to rush relief where you need it. Proven faster, stronger, better than Tylenol.
Now, every time I get a tough headache, I choose Advil Liquigels.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Nah, I'm tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have an expense account. What's the problem?
I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to it on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese. Humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees. Some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Now she's starting to rise.
Welcome back. Exposing the con and conservative. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Just a little bit off topic here, but the news of the moment. In a reversal, this from the Sacramento Bee, in a reversal, Governor Schwarzenegger says he will not look into the groping charges against him. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger on Monday said he has decided against initiating an investigation into himself, into sexual harassment allegations against him, despite promising to do so before the October 7 election. And Rhonda Miller is not pleased. She's one of the 16 women who made a claim against him. And she's now suggesting he defamed her by saying that she was a convicted prostitute. She's nothing of the sort. And she said, and Harwell, let's see, what's the name here? This was Linnea Harwell. Schwarzenegger pinned her to her bed in her trailer wearing only his underwear when she approached him with a clipboard asking for his required signature on a form. She said he let her go only when a supervisor began calling for her over a two-way radio clip to her hip. This has nothing to do with politics, she said. She's now a museum director in Atlanta. He seemed to think that the Democrats or some other evil political force had gotten a hold of all these women. Nobody came to me from any political party. I came forward because I was asked a question and I told the truth. Well, interesting. So the Herr Gruppenführer has decided that he is not going to investigate himself. I suppose we should be reassured. Perhaps somebody else will. Time will tell. His being a Republican, the odds of his being investigated are pretty slim. It seems that Republicans can pretty much get away with anything these days. Out CIA agents, have sweetheart deals, work on the side, make hundreds of thousands, make millions of bucks. Richard Pearl, I mean, look at the, you know, the Bob Novak's, you need a scorecard. Day 302 in the search for weapons of mass distraction. See, Newsweek has now outed Dick Cheney on that one. Day 788 on the anthrax thing, day 811 in the search for Osama bin Laden. But back to Harry Truman and how Bush is mortgaging our future. This from Business Week. I mean, when Business Week, the conservative business publication, starts writing articles about like this, by Christopher Farrell, how Bush is mortgaging the future. They're quoting Edward Yarendi, chief investment strategist at Prudential Equity Group. Another, you know, these are not wild-eyed liberals, right? They manage billions of dollars, and this guy says, quote, "The Bush administration is doing everything that's legally possible to win a second term for the president. They've cut taxes for just about everyone. The president hasn't vetoed a single spending program passed by Congress." And then the Business Week goes on to point out, "But Washington hasn't handed out goodies like this since Richard Nixon's all-out campaign to get reelected in 1972. And the comparison is worrisome. The Nixon years set the nation on a course that culminated in the devastating 1970s inflationary spiral. I'm telling you, hold on to your hat. Gold is what now? 403? It is, which means the dollar's collapsing. It's the same thing that happened after Richard Nixon did the same thing to get himself reelected in 1972. And what happened after that? Well, to quote from Business Week, the dollar depreciated, the federal budget deficit soared, and Nixon did a big giveaway, 20% increase in Social Security benefits that year, just like the Medicare drug bill. He won in a landslide, but the legacy, I'm quoting now from Business Week, Nixon won in a landslide, but the legacy of his economic policies was disastrous for business and workers over the next 20 years or so. And then they go on to point out that the Bush administration may saddle future taxpayers with an enormous bill that could alarm financial markets, dramatically slow the economy's underlying growth rate, lower living standards, and poison politics even more than it is today. It's not, it may happen. It is already starting to happen. The rest of the world is looking at us going, whoa, something wrong here. Look at the value of the euro compared to the dollar. It's happening. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some introductions can lead to trouble, especially when the newcomers wipe out the natives. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. You might not have heard of the small Indian mongoose, the cane toad, or the Brazilian pepper, but these species have caused the extinctions of many others. Daniel Simberloff is a biologist at the University of Tennessee. He says introduced plants and animals, those brought to new places by people, are one of the greatest threats to endangered species, second only to habitat loss. Simberloff says non-native plants and animals can do extreme damage after their introduction into a new environment. A prime example is the small Indian mongoose, brought to a number of islands, including Hawaii, to control rats in sugarcane fields.
It's not done a very good job of controlling rats, but it's attacked many birds, mammals, and reptiles, and some amphibians, and it's actually caused the global extinction of at least 30 species and subspecies of vertebrates in various places.
Simberloff says the U.S. Endangered Species Act is the best law in the world to provide for the rehabilitation of threatened plants and animals, but he says it does not keep potentially harmful species from being introduced in the first place.
The Endangered Species Act has been used in rehabilitation plans to have a component of the plan be to attempt to eradicate or at least lessen the populations of some introduced species that's causing the problem. But it's not been used to keep out species.
Simberloff says the federal government needs to tighten its regulation of imported plants and animals to protect native species. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
Andy Dave Rush here, inviting you to listen to Home Improvement USA. Ken Walchek from Chicago's number one hardware store, Clark Devon Hardware. John Sipe from United Marketing Force. Jay Brentlinger from Orban. And, of course, Danny Lipford from today's Homeowner Television Show. Take your home improvement questions. Our guests include industry experts from across the country. We've been America's most useful talk show for 10 years. So join us for Home Improvement USA every Saturday, 2 to 4 Eastern, and rebroadcast 8 to 10 Eastern right here on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, on the day he was tried, no witness testified. Nothing but evidence, not hard to falsify. His own confession was a prosecutor's crime, made up of fear.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, where despair is not an option. We are getting active. We are taking back America. As Harry Truman pointed out, this is the absolute evidence that what goes around goes around. that history repeats itself. I mean, the Federalists were the party of big business. Alexander Hamilton wanting to build an industrial empire, a noble vision. By the way, but his methodology, I thought, was a little off. And then the Whigs when the Federalists collapsed, and then the Republicans when the Whigs collapsed. And they had a brief little period there from 1856, when the Republican Party was formed, until around 1870, more or less, where they were actually the party of reform. And then in 1872, the progressives split off from the Republicans, and the Republicans went back to being what the Federalists and the Whigs had been, which was the party of special interests, big money, privileged wealth. And, well, as Harry Truman points out so well,
the Republicans make a great whoop and holler about the honesty of federal employees, but they are usually the first to show up in a government office asking for special favors for private interests and in raising Cain if they don't get them. These Republican gentlemen can't have it both ways. They can't be for morality on Tuesday and Thursday and then be for special privileges for their clients on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
No, but they sure try. Here, this on the website of the what's it called here? Well, I'll get to it in a second. The Center for American Progress. Here we go. AmericanProgress.org. A picture that's worth $14 million. Here's the picture of George Bush signing the Medicare bill. And there's all these people standing around him, all these, you know, the congressmen and Congresswoman Nancy Johnson and Senator Bill Frist and Orrin Hatch. And they've got nice little boxes with arrows pointing to each one of these folks. Senator Bill Frist, health industry, $550,264. Drug industry, $123,957. Senator John Brough, health industry, $118,612. Drug industry, $59,150. Now, he was a piker. Look at this. Representative Nancy Johnson, health industry, $1,418,258. She's got the biggest smile of the whole bunch. Drug industry, $336,908. Representative Billy Towson, health industry, $601,077. Drug industry, $211,200. $78,000. Denny Hastert's doing good. He's got a bit of a grin. Health industry gave him $545,985. The drug industry gave him $194,700. You know what's amazing is how cheap these guys are. I mean, the industry, the health industry and the drug industry just got handed to them billions with a B. A billion is $1,000,000,000. $1 million 1,000 times. I mean, imagine if 1,000 different people in your community all won the jackpot and each won $1 million. That's $1 billion, all 1,000 of them together. And the drug industry just got hundreds of billions of dollars. And how much did they pay for it? They gave Senator Charles Grassley $573,678, and the drug industry gave him $217,921. What a cheap... I mean, and then, of course... George W. Bush, the health industry gave him $7 million. Well, he's not so cheap. $7 million. To buy the president, you got to spend a little more than you have to spend to get Bill Frist. Bill Frist was only $500,000, $550,264 from the health industry. But George Bush took $7,549,695 from the health industry and $891,208 from the drug industry. And similarly, when you look at the numbers for the Republicans and Democrats who voted against this bill, you see that they got almost nothing. I mean, it was just dramatically less from these same sources. This is an example of what happens when big business gets so big that it can corrupt government. This is, you know, the founders were absolutely clear. Political power. Governmental power, political power, is a unique type of power which in our constitutionally limited democratic republic, in a democracy, is held by we the people and is exercised by our elected representatives on behalf of us. And that political power, they were very clear, must never be stolen, must never be corrupted by religious power, as it had been when popes had ruled the world and mullahs and theocrats of every stripe should never be corrupted by religious power. There must be an absolute wall of separation between church and state, as Thomas Jefferson said, and must never be corrupted by the power of wealth. Why, Thomas Jefferson wanted there to be a ban on monopolies in commerce written into the Bill of Rights. Why the word corporation doesn't appear in the Constitution of the United States. Why every state in the Union had very, very strong laws against wealth, particularly corporate wealth. Because they had just seen this happen with the East India Company, which they had thrown out of this country in 1776. Corporate wealth rising up and exercising influence over government. Right up until the Reagan era, this was considered corruption. Back in 1952, what did Harry Truman have to say about this kind of thing?
I think the voters are going to see through this holier-than-thou disguise that our Republican friends are putting on. All the tricks of Republican propaganda cannot make the people forget that the Democratic Party has been working for their welfare.
And so now the right-wingers go, oh, yes, the Democrats are buying votes.
We're working for the welfare of the farmer. We hold to the ideal that goes back to Jefferson, that a farmer should have the opportunity to own his farm, to share in the benefits of scientific progress, and to secure a fair income for his efforts. The Democratic Party is working for the success of our free enterprise system. We have worked to prevent monopoly, to give the small businessman a fair chance.
See, we have worked to prevent monopoly, to give the small businessman a fair chance. I remember when I was young, and I
say this at the risk of sounding like a geezer,
but I remember when I was a teenager hitchhiking across the United States, and every city was different. Every restaurant was unique. Every store had their own. And traveling around the world back in the 60s, and you could find all kinds of cool stuff that, and every place had its own flavor, its own personality. Why? Because local communities had decided that they didn't want to be homogenized and that they didn't want their businesses owned by a large out-of-state corporation that every night at midnight would push a button and suck all that money. Russ Perot's giant sucking sound. Suck all that money out of the tills of the local community and deposit it in bank accounts at Walmart in Little Rock, Arkansas, or at McDonald's in Chicago, Illinois. They decided, no, we don't want that. We would rather have local businesses doing local business and putting money in the local bank so that other local businesses can borrow that money and start businesses and we can have the normal, healthy cycle. But the Reagan Revolution, it was underway before then, but Reagan just kicked open the doors when he, for all practical purposes, stopped enforcing the Sherman Antitrust Act. And you saw this, what was called the mergers and acquisition mania. Remember the M&A? Everybody was an M&A artist? As in mergers and acquisition. They were making millions. Michael Milken, greed is good. Merging companies, getting them bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then squeezing the cash out of them. This was the beginning of the end of individuality and of the opportunity for small and medium-sized businesses in America to succeed. This was the beginning of the takeover of American government, of political power, by corporate power. Something that can only correctly be called corruption. The corruption of our form of governance. And now we've got, you know, this omnibus spending bill here, which, again, is a crazy way to run a legislature. Each one of these individual spending bills should have been separate pieces of legislation that got voted on based on their merits, but no, they lump this whole thing together into one giant thing and toss in all kinds of goodies, like wiping out overtime for workers who currently qualify. This is the Walmartization of America is built into this omnibus spending bill even. The long-term unemployment in November surpassed a 20-year high. After December 21st, half a million people are going to lose their unemployment. And what is this administration going to do about it? Nothing. There was legislation put forward by the Democrats to extend. This is going to run out the week before Christmas. 4 days before Christmas. Unemployment benefits are going to run out for millions of people across America. And the Democrats put together legislation to extend that for 6 months. 500,000 people. And Tom DeLay said he saw, no reason, end quote, to extend the unemployment compensation. Charles Rangel of New York says, somehow we can afford tax breaks for millionaires and a war in Iraq, but we can't afford the help for the unemployed. It's a disgrace. It's worse than a disgrace. It's an absolute failure of the simple and straightforward obligations of government. That is, why do we have government of, by, and for we the people? What's it all about? By the way, in our next hour, Janine Garofalo is going to be with us. If you have questions or thoughts for her, you know, be thinking about them. I want to give her a warm welcome. Armin in Florida is on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Hey, Armin, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you very much. I'd like to cover a couple points and then make a comment, if I may. Do you remember for years and years and years the other religion of the conservatives was line item veto, and mysteriously they put that thing out like a bad cigarette when Bill Clinton had it,
yeah,
and was going to use it to balance out, you know, the give and take of Congress and the economic system of our country.
No, these guys have completely surrendered any. I mean, they used to give lip service to fiscal responsibility. Now that they have the power, first time since 1952 or 54. Now that they have the power, 54 it must have been. They're running amok. I mean, they're like drunks in a liquor warehouse. It's incredible.
Yeah, you'd almost think they got three other countries with natural resources on the lam ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks,
hey,
thanks,
Tom.
Armin, for the call. Yeah, one quick point. I want to get back to Harry here.
Okay. One quick comment. Sure. In my opinion, the Bush crime family is exhibiting the worst case of corporate socialism that you could expect.
Yeah, well said. Thanks, Armin. I agree, and so would Harry Truman.
We're working for the welfare of the farmer. We hold to the ideal that goes back to Jefferson, that a farmer should have the opportunity to own his farm, to share in the benefits of scientific progress, and to secure a fair income for his efforts. The Democratic Party is working for the success of our free enterprise system.
Oh, we heard
we
this
have
before.
Worked
Here we go.
Monopoly. To give the small businessman a fair chance, and to develop our natural resources for all the people and not just for the favored few. The Democratic Party is working for the welfare of labor. We have worked for good wages in our legislation, for unemployment compensation, and for fair labor relations laws. The Democratic Party is dedicated to the ideal that every family is entitled to fair opportunities for decent living conditions.
Yeah, and he goes on and on. But and the Democratic Party, I'd say, by and large, still is, or at least with the exception of Zell Miller, they should boot his butt out. But here, another problem, the debt in America. By the middle of 2003, households had amassed an unprecedented 115% of their disposable income in debt. In other words, the average family has debt equal to more than their income. This is mind-boggling. I mean, people are not paying off their debt. They're just paying off the interest on their debt. And they point out that college loans are a big chunk of it. Over the weekend, I was going through some of Jefferson's letters, all his stuff about the University of Virginia when he was putting that thing together, and how outspoken he was about how critical it is that any person who had the ability to attend college be given the opportunity to without any financial obligation. I mean, he was just absolutely, this was the thing that would hold together democracy. This was the thing that would make it all work. And it's, you know, we got a problem here. So now the workers in the Kinchi Industrial Park, a leading Chinese toy maker, made a decent salary, rarely get, this from the New York Times, rarely get work nights or weekends, and often hang out on the street, play ping pong, and watch TV. That turns out it's a lie. I'll tell you about it after the break. This is remarkable. Maybe we'll move this to the third hour, but this the Etch-a-Sketch scandal. It so beautifully portrays what's going on in the United States and around the world right now as the result of conservative policies. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen. For the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available at bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to ieamericaradio.com. I'll be there.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The Tom Hartman
Carlin Show.
An email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina, who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature, one word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You win a prize for that. For telling lies like that. So well that I'm leaving. And I never felt cheated.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Ruse in Toyland, Chinese Workers' Hidden Woe. This, the New York Times, an excellent piece. Two articles in the New York Times that create this just absolutely startling juxtaposition. Both of them by Joseph Kahn. And the first is about how the workers who are making the Etch-a-Sketch machines or toys in Shenzhen, China, in the Qingke industrial area, are basically slave labor. Mostly teenage migrants from internal provinces work more hours and earn about 40% less than the company claims. They sleep toe-to-toe in tiny rooms. They staged two strikes recently. Most do not have pensions, medical insurance, or work contracts. And they're paid 24 cents an hour. The legal minimum wage is 33 cents. So they're getting less than the minimum wage, which is why they're holding a strike. And they're required to work 84 hours a week without overtime pay. Now, this is to make the Etch-a-Sketch machine. And then the article goes to the city in Ohio, in Bryan, Ohio, where the Etch-a-Sketches used to be made, where this was the major industry in town. And now they talk about, because Etch-a-Sketch has moved to China, in a small town like Bryan, the pain was shared. Bryan's tax base is eroding from the loss of manufacturing and a population drain. The Bryan Times is full of notices of home foreclosures and auctions. The town's central square is in repose. The drugstores, real estate offices, and bars look more like relics than marketplaces. It tore our hearts out, said the William Kilgallen, the owner of the company, the Etch-a-Sketch company. We ate with these people. We went to church with them. For some of them, this was the only job they ever had. But he said he had to go to China in order to get the price of his product down to the point where Walmart would buy it. The Walmartization of America. And this is not just, you know, an evil corporation. Government policy is what allows this to happen. And government policy should be being set by you and me, by we the people. Not by huge multinational corporations. Not by Walmart. It's time for a change. 2004 in November. We will change things. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Do
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday night on the IE America Radio Network.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Former Vice President Al Gore is endorsing Howard Dean for the Democratic presidential nomination, adding momentum and political prestige to Dean's front-running campaign. 5 weeks before Iowa's kickoff caucuses, Gore is appearing with his former party rival in New York City's Harlem neighborhood before flying with Dean to Cedar Rapids, Iowa for a formal endorsement, several Democratic officials said Monday on condition of anonymity. Dean will then fly to New Hampshire in time for the final Democratic debate of the year. A car bomb attack on a barracks near the northern city of Mosul early Tuesday wounded 31 American soldiers, mainly with flying debris, the military said. The attack occurred when a car drove to the gate of the base of the 3rd Brigade of the 101st Airborne Division in the town of Talifar, 30 miles west of Mosul. Guards opened fire on the vehicle and blew it up. A total of 31 soldiers were wounded, mostly by debris and flying glass. None of the injuries was life-threatening. Representative Bill Janklow, a dominating figure in South Dakota politics for nearly 30 years, was convicted of manslaughter Monday for speeding through a stop sign at a rural intersection and colliding with a motorcyclist. Janklow quickly announced that he would resign from Congress on January 20th, the same day he is scheduled to be sentenced. He could get up to 10 years in prison. Jurors in the congressman's boyhood hometown convicted Janklow of second-degree manslaughter, reckless driving, running a stop sign, and speeding for the August 16th crash that killed Randy Scott, a farmer from Hardwick, Minnesota. Prosecutors said Janklow was traveling at more than 70 miles an hour in a white Cadillac when he crashed with Scott's Harley-Davidson. Rocker Ozzy Osbourne underwent emergency surgery at a hospital in Britain after suffering serious injuries in an all-terrain vehicle crash on the grounds of his estate in Buckinghamshire, his publicist said on Monday. During examination, doctors found that Ozzy had broken his collarbone, 6 ribs, and a vertebra in his neck, according to the publicist. The injuries were not considered life-threatening. The 55-year-old rocker was injured while riding the all-terrain vehicle during a day off from promoting his new single. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
A dog from Middlesex County is probably feeling like a lucky pooch, though she smelled like trash after being rescued from among 40 tons of household waste in the back of a garbage trailer. The dog, plucked from the garbage truck at Edgeboro Landfill, was badly shaken but unharmed from her ordeal. The dog was taken to a local kennel, where she is taken to another kennel resident, a one-eyed pit bull. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Dick Cheney, Rummy Rumsfeld, Colin Powell, and Condi Rice aren't the only fierce hawks in George W.'s warmongering government, and the Pentagon is not the only federal force that Bush has unleashed to attack a foreign foe in the name of defending the homeland. Here's the name of another hawkish generalissimo, Mark B. McClellan. Who? Okay, Mark's a dimmer light in George's galaxy of self-styled tough guys and gals, but he's no less committed to Bushko's agenda of global empire in which all other countries are expected to do our bidding or else. McClellan is Bush's commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration, and to protect you and me, he says, he has launched his own war against a rogue nation that he says threatens the very safety of the American people, Canada. Canada? A people so gentle that their national flag features a maple leaf? What threat are they? Well, huffs Generalissimo McClellan, Canadian pharmacies sell prescription drugs at prices 30 to 50% cheaper than what drug makers sock us with here in America. So? Well, he says, online businesses in our country are allowing America's consumers to buy their medicines through Canada rather than paying the rip-off prices charged here in the homeland. So? Well, he sputters, the drug industry does not like this, so it must be stopped. Thus we have the remarkable sight of our FDA commissioner attacking Canada so the drug giants can keep overcharging Americans. Of course, McClellan claims that is for our own good because, he says, those dastardly Canadians might be shipping unsafe drugs to us. In retort, the Canadians note that practically all of the medicines they ship are made by American companies under the FDA's own supervision, and that Canada has excellent drug safety laws. This is Jim Hightower saying, Mark's not defending us, he's protecting the drug price gougers, who happen to be one of Bush's top campaign contributors.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back, friends. Day 148 in the search for the traitor in the White House.
And I don't know if we're going to find out the senior administration official. Now, this is a large administration, and there's a lot of senior officials. I don't have any idea.
Yes, a criminal at large. And George Bush will not mobilize, well, he'll mobilize the U.S. Army against the criminal in Baghdad, but the criminal in the White House? No, I don't think so. Anyhow, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We are broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border, all across America, and also streaming around the world on radiopower.org, 91 countries now and counting, regularly listening. IEAmericaRadio.com, Live365.com, archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can find it all at TomHartman.com. And also, of course, live on stations from coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network and streaming down from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, Stream 145. Janine Garofalo is one of my heroes, one of the a fabulous actress, an extraordinary comedian, and somebody who has had the courage in one of the most difficult times for people in her industry
to be stepping out, stepping forward, speaking out, and doing so not just with eloquence and grace, but with an insight into the issues that made her a formidable contender when thrown in with the always obligatory conservative on these television, mostly talk shows where I've seen her. Janine, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to be here.
I'm so pleased to have you here. First of all, just, you know, what do you think is going on with this thing? We've got this 6'4" guy driving around on a donkey with a dialysis machine, and George Bush can't find him.
Well, you just can't find him. You can't find him. A guy who's probably green in skin tone, toting a dialysis machine through the desert sands. No, they know. I'm sure everybody knows where he is and where Saddam is, and either that it's not good business to have them captured at the moment, but maybe during the Republican National Convention they will both be marched in to the convention hall in chains.
Well, I actually, you know, on a serious note, I'm expecting that the October surprise that every Republican administration has tried to pull ever since Richard Nixon had originally planned the Bay of Pigs for October of 1960, I'm expecting that the October surprise will have something to do with something like that. But the other possibility is that somehow Osama has made it to the moon.
Mm-hmm. What, for some off-world hiding?
I don't know, but Bush is talking about going to the moon.
Is that
now,
why China went? Or is China? Is that why we're competing with China?
They took him there. That's it.
But no, I'm sure that it's there are enough people who probably have a good handle on where both Saddam and Osama are. But like I said, it's not good business right now to have them captured, because then you can't use them as a carrot to be dangled and fearmonger.
What is absolutely mind-boggling to me is in a sort of shocked and awed way watching this thing. I worked in radio for years, but I also owned an ad agency for a number of years, and I understand PR and advertising. And to watch how these guys parse out information, it's like they've got a back pocket full of stuff. They sat on that one Al-Qaeda guy that they busted in Afghanistan for 2.5 weeks before they waited for one of the Cheney scandals to erupt, and boom, just like that, 20 minutes later, it's hitting the news and blowing Cheney off the air. They are so good at it.
People should understand that. There is no difference between K Street and Madison Avenue and the White House and Hollywood. They all sort of run on the same principle. It's all about image, damage control, PR, advertising. That's why it's funny when politicians pretend that Hollywood is irritating to them, or the conservative blowhards on the right, on the radio and on MSNBC and Fox, pretend that there's any difference between Hollywood and what they do.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, basically on MSNBC and on Fox, there's a lot of blowhards or news-tainers that are sort of like professional wrestling managers. They sort of yell and hype and, you know what I mean, like, and shill for their team. It's the same thing. But also, politics is advertising. It's all about how you word things, what news you release, what you withhold, how you package something. The Baghdad commercial, the USS Abraham commercial. Do you know what I mean? The most recent one, which was just shameful, was the Baghdad commercial, where for Thanksgiving with the turkey, the fake turkey he was holding, and the press corps that was sworn to secrecy, which in and of itself is mind-boggling. That, you know, they're like news geisha. They just service the government. You know, they're state press employees. So, you know, if there is going to be state press employees, which obviously there are, in service to the government, they should say that. They should be advertised as such. This is not news. This is state news. This is not, this is PR for the homeland. This is what service Rupert Murdoch provides for the government.
It even goes beyond state news in that, you know, you probably saw this article about how the NRA is looking to buy a news outlet so that they will not be constrained, you know, by the campaign finance provisions. And the NRA is doing it like, hey, we just figured something out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rupert Murdoch figured this out half a decade ago. Reverend Moon figured this out. You know, the people who financed Rush Limbaugh figured this out. I mean, this is not rocket science. And it's a huge hole. This is when this country was founded, a corporation could only do one thing, and that was the law in the United States right up until the 1880s. Mm-hmm. And all that talk about a free press,
assumed that the press only did one thing, that a news organization just did the news.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've now, we've got news organizations that are owned by the largest defense contractor in the world, you know, NBC.
It is the military-industrial complex, but it's beyond that. It's the military-industrial-congressional entertainment complex.
Mm-hmm.
And they all feed into each other, and they all serve to disinform you. None of them are in service to the public's best interests. None of them adhere to the fairness doctrine. None of them are really interested in giving you news that you can use to function properly in a democracy. We live just like in Russia, and we live in a managed democracy. There's so many similarities between what's going on with Putin and what's going on with Bush in our cultures. It is a managed democracy with a self-censoring press.
So what do you suggest we do about this, Janine?
Vote for Howard Dean is my choice. Well, I actually, my choice is right now I'm in support of Howard Dean, but also my choice personally is I educate myself as much as possible to what's going on in my world, what's going on domestically and internationally, and to learn as much as I can about politics and as much as I can about the Bush administration, as much as I can about the Democratic candidates, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, all of these things. You know, as much energy as some people put into sports or into physical fitness or into crocheting or into, you know, listening to music. You know what I mean? All these areas of interest.
Oh, yeah.
We've
got to put those kinds of energies into politics or we're not going to have a nation anymore. We're not going to have
a
democracy.
Each person has to now be the media. Each person has to now be their own educator because you can't get it. You're going to have to really work hard and get many different news sources domestically and internationally to learn about your world and to figure out what your government is doing in your name and to really understand how the Bush administration is destroying this country and will eventually destroy your life financially and the air that you breathe, all of these things. It's just you just have to take the time to devote to politics what you devote to other areas of interest in your life.
How would you define your vision of democracy in America, of what America should be?
How it should be or how it is?
Well, I think we know how it – I think you've pretty much described just now how it is.
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to see? What kind of an America – what do you think is the appropriate role of government and business, and what are the changes that you think that need to be made right now?
I would love to see in this country – progressive, enlightened, forward motion, and what I mean by that in all areas of society. And what I mean by that is no more juvenile news, no more juvenile Fox, MSNBC type, New York Post type dumbing down of the country and the coarsening of the country. The rhetoric is nasty. The stories are facile, and you are talked down to. I'm tired of stupid news. And stupid.
But how do you can't just you can't just pass a law that says the news can't be stupid anymore.
The news can't be stupid anymore. The news can't treat us like chumps anymore. I would love to see people let go of myth. They should let go of their myth. They should let go of their fear and their needs, and they need to stop believing that there is any such thing as a pro-life, pro-war, pro-gun, pro-death penalty Christian. There is not. President Bush is not a Christian. He's not pro-life. He is anti-choice. He's not pro-life. There is, again, let me just say it again, there's no such thing as a pro-life, pro-gun, pro-war, pro-death penalty Christian. Doesn't work that way. So people have to stop believing in the fake Christian nonsense that he purports and the fake patriotism that he purports. It is not patriotic to obey a criminal. It is not patriotic to just shut your mouth and fall in line. So I'd love to see a more enlightened, more intellectual culture, a more enlightened, more intellectual news programming. I'd like to see more secularization, separating church and state. I'd like to see science respected more, the environment respected more. You know, like I said, letting go of myth, letting go of bellicose nationalism, letting go of might makes right, letting go of us versus them, respect for internationalism, a respect for the United Nations, respect for women's right to choose, respect for affirmative action. Title IX, things of that nature.
Yeah, that's a great list.
And I'm sorry about that. First and foremost, people have to learn that liberal is good. Liberal is not a four-letter word.
That's why they're called liberal democracies all over the world. I mean, that's the official phrase. Liberal democracy goes all the way back to John Locke in 1732.
Liberalism is what this country is founded on. Everything good we have in this country, from ending slavery to seat belts to child labor laws, is liberal. Liberal, liberal, liberal. Liberal is good.
There you go. Janine, do you mind taking some calls?
I don't.
We have Dave in North Carolina has called 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Our number, and Dave, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Janine Garofalo.
Garofalo, yeah.
Sorry about that.
Hi, Janine.
Hi.
My hat is off to you. You are the only one that I have ever seen to fluster Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, I don't know if I flustered him. I think you're being too kind. I don't think I flustered him.
I watched you with an interview with him a couple of months back, and you're the only one that I have seen so far where it actually had him just searching.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. I don't know if it was. I think he's just mad at me.
Well, I believe it was.
Sometimes that'll do it, too.
My main question for you is, do you, as a celebrity, do you think it's kind of a death knell for any celebrity to actually take a stand like this, as far as politically, as far as with your career would be and the kind of exposure you have?
Well, actually, you know, I'm not really a celebrity, very famous person. I'm sort of like a character actor that most people don't even know how to pronounce my name, let alone what my name is. So I'm sort of in a different category.
Right.
That most people don't really know who I am.
I have to respectfully disagree. I mean, your name has been all over the media, even if I am stumbling on it. Janine, can you hold that thought until...
Oh, my God, music is starting.
Yeah, until the other side of the break. We're going to be right back
with
this. Dave, thanks for the call, but we're going to continue with this interview. We just have to pay some bills here. We're talking with Janine Garofalo. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen. For the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Veronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you, people who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
The Mike Molloy Show.
An interview with George and Pickles from the current issue of Ladies' Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. Although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day.
The day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, "You'll be sleeping downstairs." And I said, "No, we like our own bed." So I told the agent, "We're going upstairs." And the agent comes running up and says, "We're under attack. We need you downstairs." So there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my T-shirt, and I'm barefooted, got the dog in one hand, Laura had the cat.
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slippers.
We're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going here toward the White House, and then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked.
We got a laugh out of it.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Come all you good workers, good news to you, I'll tell of how the good old union has come in here to dwell.
Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking today with Janine Garofalo. And Janine, I have to tell you, yeah, I have seen you've been in all these movies, you know, The Laramie Project, Dogma, Steal This Movie, Hot Wet, Wet Hot American Summer.
It sounds like a porno, but it's not.
Yeah, I know it's not. The Truth About Cats and Dogs. I mean, I saw your name in credits. I mean, I think there's a lot of people across America who see, it's like I have the same problem. People, my name is T-H-O-M Hartman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I write regularly for CommonDreams.org, and I got 14 books in print. And people think it's FOM. And it's like when you read somebody's name, and I always pronounced it in my head as Garofalo or something like that, you know. And then just in the last year, as people started talking about your name because of your activism, I think, you know, if you think that people are stumbling on your name because you're an unknown, that's not the case.
Well, I think it's they're stumbling on it because there's a lot of letters. But I would say in the scope of celebrity, I would not put myself in the very famous category. But beyond that, to answer the caller's question, it is not hard to stand up for what you believe in. It's not hard to speak out, especially when there's so much criminal activity in Washington. What is hard and painful is the mockery, the lies that get perpetrated by the right against you, and the tacit encouragement from mainstream media sources to harass Hollywood. You know, they like to pretend that Hollywood is this evil within so that you don't notice what George Bush is doing. There's a lot of stuff that goes on at Fox, MSNBC, The New York Post, and other places where they create a diversion. Here, look at Barbara Streisand. Look how evil and subversive she is. Like Laura Ingraham and Coulter do this a lot. They make you look at Hollywood so that you don't notice the nude emperor in the White House. They want to create a false opposition, a straw man, to divert your attention. And that straw man is Hollywood.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a technique that goes back to the Caesars. I mean, you know, 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Mike in Washington, D.C. is on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
Great.
And I wanted to say hi to Janine.
Hello.
And to tell her, I really have to tell you, I find you to be one of the loveliest, one of the most intelligent women I have heard in a long time. And I really take my hat off to you for having the guts to stand up and take the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune.
Oh, thank you. That's really nice of you. Thank you.
You know, I really appreciate it. You're one of the few people that I have heard that actually will stand there and not give ground, not sit there and play footsie with these idiots.
Oh, thanks.
And
that's
call
really
them.
Nice of you.
You know, so I really appreciate it. And just keep it up.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah, you're doing great, Janine. And the week that you were co-hosting Crossfire. Louise and I knocked off the day every day at 4:30 to watch that show.
I felt like I failed miserably.
Oh, no, you did
on that
great.
Because I get so frustrated. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but I would be like, I can't function under that, you know, because you have no time talk so that you can never really discuss anything.
Well, that's the medium. I mean, that's the problem with the medium. Even here, I mean, you know, we've got a commercial break coming up in about a little less than a minute, but then we'll have 17 whole minutes.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, it's like a system geared towards failure. You can never really get into any complex issue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there are those of us who are working toward bringing out that complexity, and actually, and I'm, you know, very pleased to be doing that here on this network, and I know that you're looking at possibilities in other areas, and I think that the pendulum is going to swing back.
Oh, I agree. I think it's already started. I think that the pendulum is absolutely on its way back to the side of the just.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, we're talking with Jeanine Garofalo. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The True People's Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen. For the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some introductions can lead to trouble, especially when the newcomers wipe out the natives. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. You might not have heard of the small Indian mongoose, the cane toad, or the Brazilian pepper, but these species have caused the extinctions of many others. Daniel Simberloff is a biologist at the University of Tennessee. He says introduced plants and animals, those brought to new places by people, are one of the greatest threats to endangered species, second only to habitat loss. Simberloff says non-native plants and animals can do extreme damage after their introduction into a new environment. A prime example is the small Indian mongoose, brought to a number of islands, including Hawaii, to control rats in sugarcane fields.
It's not done a very good job of controlling rats, but it's attacked many birds, mammals, and reptiles, and some amphibians, and it's actually caused the global extinction of at least 30 species and subspecies of vertebrates in various places.
Simberloff says the U.S. Endangered Species Act is the best law in the world to provide for the rehabilitation of threatened plants and animals, but he says it does not keep potentially harmful species from being introduced in the first place.
The Endangered Species Act has been used in rehabilitation plans to have a component of the plan be to attempt to eradicate or at least lessen the populations of some introduced species that's causing the problem. But it's not been used to keep out species.
Simberloff says the federal government needs to tighten its regulation of imported plants and animals to protect native species. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Into the distance, ribbon of black, stretched to the point of no turning back. Flight of fancy on a windswept field, standing alone, my senses reel.
Exposing the con and conservative. This is Tom Hartman of the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back, friends. We're talking with Janine Garofalo today, artist, actress, comedian extraordinaire, and activist extraordinaire. Janine, I have a bunch of questions for you, like, well, what are you doing next? I wanted to talk to you about this team mentality in politics. I wanted to ask you what you thought about the Gruppenführer, Herr Gruppenführer, and about... Yeah, right. And about despair and despondency. But I've also got a whole bunch of calls stacked up here, so I'm going to let our callers get through first,
okay.
And then hopefully we'll have an opportunity to get into some of these things. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Kevin in Tampa. Oh, is that Mike in D.C.? We just had Mike. Yeah, Kevin in Tampa, Florida is on the line. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Janine and Tom.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
You struck a nerve with me. Well, a positive nerve. Janine, and I just wanted to see if you were thinking along the lines that I'm thinking. I'm in my mid-50s,
mm-hmm.
And I see I place a lot of the blame that's been to allow the Republicans to have done what they have done,
mm-hmm.
on my generation. I was in college in the 60s, involved in the anti-Vietnam movement. I was involved very heavily in Bobby Kennedy's campaign. And after Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy both were killed, I kind of dropped out and didn't pay attention to politics. I even went as far as voting against Carter in the 80 election.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get married, you start having a family, and you just kind of think, well, things will just go along. You know, there
right.
was the Watergate and all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
And
so can we boil this down, Kevin?
Pardon me?
Can you boil it down to the question?
Oh, yeah, I'll come to the point. But now, after what's happened in the last 3 years, actually since 94 with the contract on America,
mm-hmm.
I've gotten mad. I am furious. And I'm seeing that in the candidates. I'm supporting Dean, and it's his anger that I've tapped into.
Right.
And, like, I'm mad. I want my flag back. It's not the property of the Republican Party in the far right wing.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And I think the biggest scoundrels tend to wear flag lapel pins, which was a trend started during the Watergate. People that supported Nixon wore flag lapel pins. That's usually a red flag of the people that are hiding behind. They hide behind the Bible, and they hide behind
yeah.
the flag lapel pin. The Republican Party hides a lot of racism, a lot of misogyny, and a lot of fake Christians. And you should always be wary of that. I'm as angry as you are, and it also makes me angry when people tell me not to be so angry about it. I think that the right, you know, there's nothing wrong with being Republican. There's nothing wrong with being a conservative. But what's going on now is neither Republican nor conservative.
No.
These are right-wing zealots, radical dystopians, who rule the party and rule the airwaves. And they are destroying our culture. And it is a culture war in a lot of ways. And I think Howard Dean's anger is justified, and I don't think he should back off from it, and he shouldn't listen to the media echo chamber.
It's not just him. If you saw anything on Sunday from the Florida, or Saturday, the Florida convention in Orlando,
mm-hmm.
Wesley Clark had that anger. He claimed the flag back and
yes.
said, you know, it's everybody's. And John Kerry with his four-letter words last week in Rolling Stone.
Right.
I mean, that anger is there.
And there's nothing wrong with
it.
And nobody should allow the media to tell you there's anything wrong with it, and there should be no apologies for it.
No.
And I think the anger is justified. And like I said, it's our responsibility to fight crime. And what's going on is criminal activity in Washington. And I think that, with the recent, James Baker, who is President Bush's special envoy to Iraq now. And if you think of the Corleone family, James Baker is sort of the Tom of the Bush
the consigliere.
Corleone family. He's their lawyer.
The consigliere.
Their consigliere, whatever.
Isn't that the word, yeah?
And he works with the Carlyle Group, which is sort of like a gangster operation. I think that people need to start thinking of Washington in terms of like mafia, in terms of like the mafia. And
well,
they do things in our name, in the name of our country, that has destroyed our reputation around the world and has really put us in a national security situation that is not good. We are sort of rapidly becoming the target no one feels sorry for because of the blustering and the posturing that comes out of that out of the Bush administration. And I think the anger is totally justified. And I think we need to reclaim the flag. We need to reclaim the word liberal. We need to reclaim a vision of spirituality and religion that is proper, if it is your desire to reclaim religion. And I think there should be a more definitive separation between church and state. But I agree with you. I think the anger is a good thing, especially if it's moving in a positive direction. And I don't think there should be any apologies for it.
Great. Well said. Thanks, Kevin, for that call. And Jeanine, in the American Heritage Dictionary, and up until 1987, the dictionary company was shortly thereafter acquired by a multinational corporation, and the definition changed. But the definition from the 1930s, when Mussolini invented the word, up until 1987 in the dictionaries in the United States, of the word fascism, mm-hmm. is the merger of state and corporate interests.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd say, I think the mafia metaphor is a useful metaphor to understand how the Bush family has worked over the years. I mean, this goes back a long, long ways. But the larger metaphor for what's happening in America is what Mussolini first called corporatism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing new. It's a reinvention of feudalism. It's a reinvention of 10th century feudalism where you had the local feudal lords. It used to be based on land ownership. Now it's based on corporation ownership. But it's
the exact same
system.
Eisenhower is it Eisenhower who coined the military-industrial complex?
Yes, in his farewell speech
in
1960.
All of his worst fears have come to pass, but also if you reacquaint yourself with H.G. Wells, the writer H.G. Wells, who wrote The Isle of Dr. Moreau, War of the Worlds, The Valley of the Blind, all of these things, he warned people about radical dystopians and
yes.
radical dystopian vision of the world, which is also in play right now.
It's the neocons. I mean, that's the rationale.
If you think in terms of Colin Powell's fable of nonsense, alarmist speech that he gave at the UN with the fake vial of anthrax.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you think of that in terms of the H.G. Wells, Orson Welles radio hoax, the aliens landing at Grover's Mill.
Yeah,
it's the same fear tactic.
It's
startling. Was like that radio hoax.
It's startling. Jeanine, we've got Jeff in Denver, we've got Glenn in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we've got David in Victorville, California. Let's get through these things. Jeff in Denver, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, I'll try to be a little faster. First,
you're going to have to speak up, Jeff.
Okay, try to be a little faster. First, I just want to say, oftentimes people are on my side, embarrass me when they speak, their mouth opens up. And Jeanine, you're one of the few people who doesn't. It's real nice to have someone like you helping us. I'd like you to speak on the idea of risk. A lot of people view that what you're doing, speaking.
Tom, I'm sorry, I can't hear him at all. Can you tell me what he said?
Sure.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Is that any better?
Jeff, try talking real loud, Jeff, and maybe it's a funky phone thing.
I think it's a phone problem.
Yeah,
can you hear me
now? She can't hear you, Jeff, but I'll pass along the question. I think I'm hearing an echo. I think our phone system has just occasionally it hiccups. Jeff is basically, I believe, Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, is asking Jeanine, how much risk should we take? He's congratulating you for the risk that you're taking and thanks you for the work that you're doing. And how much risk should we personally take? Where are the boundaries? How do you define your own boundaries? Is that it, Jeff?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. That's the question.
I'm sorry. Risk in what sense?
In speaking out in ways that, I mean, remember Alan Berg? Perhaps you're not old enough to remember. Alan Berg was a talk show host. Well, I'm sure you're. Alan Berg was one of the leading talk show hosts in the United States in 1985, mm-hmm. and he was a liberal, and he was on in 34 states, and he had a huge audience, and he was machine gunned to death. And in the driveway of his house. And, you know, for a year there was no talk radio, and then Rush Limbaugh emerged.
Mm-hmm.
And in 87. And, you know, there is risk associated with speaking out in this kind of an environment.
Right. The bigger risk is not speaking out, though. If it does, you know, I've received a number of death threats. I've received, you know, both in email form, letter form, and people coming up and shouting in my face on the street. That's fine. That's totally fine. The bigger risk is keeping quiet, because the bigger risk is then everybody suffers. I don't mind taking a few hits, and it means that I'm doing something right. And if it happens that, you know, physical harm comes my way or whatever, it's still worth it. It's worth it because this cannot continue to go on. You know, if you have children, I don't have children, but I have nephews. I cannot allow them to grow up into this. Into a world like this, with deficits like this, with environmental degradation like this, with a press that's muzzled like this, in good conscience, I have to say something. And and there is risk involved, but there's a bigger risk in not getting.
I absolutely agree with you. I get those same death threat emails or you know the same. I also get death threat. I've had the you know windows in my car smashed in and so. But you have to keep speaking out. We must. We have no choice.
It's Glenn true. And also, there's a risk for any citizen every day crossing the street. You could get hit by a bus.
There you go.
Know, people have stalkers that just you know that work with in their office with them. You know everybody takes a risk just existing every day.
Democracy is worth it. Yeah, democracy is absolutely worth it. Glenn in Tulsa, Oklahoma is on the line. Glenn, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You have a question for Janine?
Yeah, Tom. Janine, you know, you mentioned earlier we have to hunt and work to find our information in a more liberal sense. We've got IE America Radio where Tom's on 15 hours a week. Mike Malloy's on 15 hours a week. There's Randy Rhodes, but they're scattered all around. They're around. IE America Network is great, but the average person doesn't hear that. You know, finally, you're hearing MoveOn.org being mentioned on the news just because of Howard Dean. What are the chances that they'll ever be an easily accessible, you know, liberal network the way Al Gore was speaking about it? There's such a need for that. So to sort of get this information out to the general public, not in sound bites, so they really understand why we, at least understand why we believe the way we believe, and expose some of the lies that are being, the doublespeak that's being perpetrated on us.
The chances are very good. In fact, the Liberal Radio Network should be launching in February out of New York City, sponsored by a company called Central Air. The office spaces have been purchased already. They're in New York. There are people in the offices now. I will have a show from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. five nights a week. I believe Al Franken will have a show. Randy Rhodes may also be working with the Liberal Radio Network. It's hopefully, like I said, we'll be launching in 2004. February or March, and that will hopefully be reaching a much more mainstream audience. In the meantime, there is always Pacifica Radio and Tom's show and The Nation Magazine's Progressive Magazine, Mother Jones, Ms., Bill Moyers now on PBS.
Yeah, there's a lot of starts. I mean, we're on 22 stations coast to coast plus Sirius, and mm-hmm.
So it's there. I mean, it is there for anyone who wants to partake of it. Your show is there. People need to know about it. Unfortunately, in the mainstream, the white noise is so predominant because these are corporate commercial news outlets, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, Fox, CNN. These are commercial for-profit news organizations that are beholden to their corporate masters.
Yeah. What has made me crazy is every time I see one of the news releases coming out, or Bill Press on CNBC the other day saying, there is no liberal talk radio in America. And there is, in fact, and yeah, there's nothing the size of Rush Limbaugh, but there's a whole movement of liberal talk radio all across the United States. Much of it is local. Some of it, like this program, Icicle Network, are national right now, and have been for several years, broadcasting day in and day out to substantial audiences.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, I wish you well on that. I
wish us well too. Already there's so much, again, so much. I guess the word is, I don't know if the word is attacking, but so much voices against the liberal radio network, again, which shows you how bizarre and skewed it is that anyone thinks that the word liberal is bad. You know, I'm going to be on Reliable Sources with Howard Kurtz on Friday. I'm sure we'll be talking mostly about the need for a liberal voice, but I'm sure he will frame it in the way of thinking of that liberal is somehow not very good or not very resonant with the American people. That's just not true. Most people are moderate. And actually, if most people understood what liberalism is, if they were just given correct information, most people are very liberal.
Yeah, and democracy requires a debate to function. We got time, I think, for one more call here. David in Victorville, California is on the line. David, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Janine Garofalo.
Hey, how's everything going?
Hello.
Good.
Hey, terrific. What I wanted to kind of, you're very much a Democrat, is that correct? Or of the left, as we're commonly refer to it. But how much do you seriously accept the ideas of more libertarian type viewpoints, if you will? Do you find yourself open to that type of persuasion or philosophy, if you will? Does it resonate with you in some sense?
Yeah, it does, actually. I have actually done a couple of panel discussions with Grover Norquist. I have actually gone to see at Cooper Union at NYU certain libertarians speak to understand more about libertarianism and also...
You think corporations should be completely unregulated?
Pardon me?
You think corporations should be completely unregulated?
Well, I associate deregulation sort of with lawlessness.
Well, that's the core of their philosophy.
Yes, I understand that. I have heard some libertarians talk about deregulation with moral accountability, with environmental and workers' protection.
Right.
That type of libertarianism I can get behind. I don't mind free market if there's environmental and worker protections in place.
Right.
But I don't believe in deregulation as pertains to lawlessness.
Great. Janine, thank you very much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me.
I truly appreciate it. Janine Garofalo, Tom Hartman, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house,
Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
On the IE America Radio Network. Today's most kind of downbeat bumper music today. It's very, very unusual. Is Nick Smith, is Congressman Nick Smith going to now say that he lied when he was on a talk show and he said that his son, he was offered $100,000 for his son if he would vote for the Medicare bill? Or is he going to say that that somebody actually committed a crime? Or will the investigation simply be dropped? Smith is now backpedaling, Republican from Michigan. If you are a constituent of his in Michigan, check out. You can call Congress, area code 202-224-3121, and ask. JR is still on the line. Hey, JR in Victorville, California. Tom Hartman here. What's up?
Tom, I had a quote that Jeanine Garofalo made in Buzz magazine a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted, maybe you could tell, but it sounded like she probably still follows this quote. She says, okay. Our country is founded on a sham. Our forefathers were slave-owning rich white guys who wanted it their way. So when I see the American flag, I go, oh, my God, you're insulting me. that you can have a gay parade on Christopher Street in New York with naked men and women on a float cheering, "We're here, we're queer." That's what makes my heart swell, not the flag, but a gay, naked man or woman burning the flag. I get choked up with pride. So her pride is when the flag is burned, and she thinks that the country is founded on a sham. And yet you quote Madison and Jefferson all the time, and I think incorrectly, but you do quote them a lot, and you talk about the country being founded on the democracy, which they never – I cannot find any favorable comments by any of the founding fathers about the word democracy, by the way. But I wondered if she still held that position or if she had changed that position.
Yeah, I just don't know, and you'll have to wait till she's got her own show and you can call her and ask her. As if you've listened to this show long enough, you know that I absolutely don't believe that the founders were elitists. And in fact, all of the evidence indicates that they weren't, and they weren't the rich guys that both the folks on the left who like to say, oh, you know, they were all terrible people, and the folks on the right who like to say, oh, they were trying to establish an aristocracy, we should have one now, both quote. I disagree with both sides. Thanks for the call, JR. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh.
Hello.
Hello. You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A car bomb attack on a barracks near the northern city of Mosul early Tuesday wounded 31 American soldiers, mainly with flying debris, the military said. The attack occurred when a car drove to the gate of the base of the 3rd Brigade of the 101st Airborne Division in the town of Talifar, 30 miles west of Mosul. Guards opened fire on the vehicle and blew it up. A total of 31 soldiers were wounded, mostly by debris and flying glass. None of the injuries was life-threatening. Representative Bill Janklow, a dominating figure in South Dakota politics for nearly 30 years, was convicted of manslaughter Monday for speeding through a stop sign at a rural intersection and colliding with a motorcyclist. Janklow quickly announced that he would resign from Congress on January 20th, the same day he is scheduled to be sentenced. He could get up to 10 years in prison. Jurors in the congressman's boyhood hometown convicted Janklow of second-degree manslaughter, reckless driving, running a stop sign, and speeding for the August 16th crash that killed Randy Scott, a farmer from Hardwick, Minnesota. Prosecutors said Janklow was traveling at more than 70 miles an hour in a white Cadillac when he crashed with Scott's Harley-Davidson. Former Vice President Al Gore is endorsing Howard Dean for the Democratic presidential nomination, adding momentum and political prestige to Dean's front-running campaign. 5 weeks before Iowa's kickoff caucuses, Gore is appearing with his former party rival in New York City's Harlem neighborhood before flying with Dean to Cedar Rapids, Iowa for a formal endorsement, several Democratic officials said Monday on condition of anonymity. Dean will then fly to New Hampshire in time for the final Democratic debate of the year. Rocker Ozzy Osbourne underwent emergency surgery at a hospital in Britain after suffering serious injuries in an all-terrain vehicle crash on the grounds of his estate in Buckinghamshire, his publicist said on Monday. During examination, doctors found that Ozzy had broken his collarbone, six ribs, and a vertebra in his neck, according to the publicist. The injuries were not considered life-threatening. The 55-year-old rocker was injured while riding the all-terrain vehicle during a day off from promoting his new single. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
About 50 prostitutes marched to Parliament Monday to protest a government decision to crack down on Athens brothels during the upcoming 2004 Olympics. Prostitution is legal and highly regulated in Greece, but only in state-licensed brothels. Prostitutes accused the government of trying to enforce legislation to clean up the capital ahead of the Olympics next summer. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen. For the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Dick Cheney, Rummy Rumsfeld, Colin Powell, and Condi Rice aren't the only fierce hawks in George W.'s warmongering government, and the Pentagon is not the only federal force that Bush has unleashed to attack a foreign foe in the name of defending the homeland. Here's the name of another hawkish generalissimo, Mark B. McClellan. Who? Okay, Mark's a dimmer light in Georgia's galaxy of self-styled tough guys and gals, but he's no less committed to Bushko's agenda of global empire, in which all other countries are expected to do our bidding, or else. McClellan is Bush's commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration, and to protect you and me, he says, he has launched his own war against a rogue nation that he says threatens the very safety of the American people, Canada. Canada? A people so gentle that their national flag features a maple leaf? What threat are they? Well, huffs Generalissimo McClellan, Canadian pharmacies sell prescription drugs at prices 30 to 50% cheaper than what drug makers sock us with here in America. So? Well, he says, online businesses in our country are allowing America's consumers to buy their medicines through Canada rather than paying the rip-off prices charged here in the homeland. So? Well, he sputters, the drug industry does not like this, so it must be stopped. Thus we have the remarkable sight of our FDA commissioner attacking Canada so the drug giants can keep overcharging Americans. Of course, McClellan claims that is for our own good because, he says, those dastardly Canadians might be shipping unsafe drugs to us. In retort, the Canadians note that practically all of the medicines they ship are made by American companies under the FDA's own supervision, and that Canada has excellent drug safety laws. This is Jim Hightower saying, Mark's not defending us, he's protecting the drug price gougers, who happen to be one of Bush's top campaign contributors.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for our
rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded? This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Dirty bombs missing in Moldova. Remarkable here. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back to our program. Dozens of rockets outfitted with so-called dirty bombs. Warheads designed to scatter deadly radioactive material appear to be missing in a breakaway region of Moldova, an expert said Monday. Nintoni, who works for the Non-Governmental Institute of Policy Studies in Chinsau, said he had seen photocopies of Russian military documents showing that the dirty bomb warheads, 24 ready to use, 14 dismantled, were missing from the storage depot. Little tiny story in the news. Let us hope it does not become a large one. J.R., your call about Jefferson and democracy reminded me of a letter of his that I had just read recently to Isaac H. Tiffany. Jefferson wrote this letter on August 26, 1816. And he's talking to Tiffany about the quality of a translation of the Politics of Aristotle. He says, "Sir, in answer to your inquiry as to the merits of Giles's translation of the Politics of Aristotle, blah-de-blah-de-blah," and he's comparing it to Ellis's translation and all that. And then he says, "I think a little edification can be obtained from their writings on the subject of government. They have just ideas of the value of personal liberty." Now, he's talking about the Greeks. See, democracy, by this time, starting in 1787, when James Madison redefined the words democracy and republic, democracy for about a 30-year period, up until more or less 1820, 1825, democracy was considered to be that experiment that the Greeks did. And that it would be appropriate in a town or a community. And in Athens, Greece, in order for there to be a quorum, you had to have 6,000 people. Everybody had an opportunity to go in and speak, and everybody had an opportunity to vote. And, you know, as Madison pointed out in Federalist Number 10, this would have worked fine in a town like Athens was, but it wouldn't work to govern a nation. And so there was a consensus for the first 20 years or so in this country prior to 87, and then from 1787 up until the 1820s, 1830s, that the word democracy there was a very intellectual perspective on this, that the word democracy described what the Greeks did and that what we had is a republic. And then you'll find after Jefferson's death and into the all the way up until Lincoln, that people started talking about the Democratic Republic or democracy and republic, and then the word democracy came back, and now we use that word to simply describe our form of government, the American form of government. So the meaning of the word has changed. Back then, the word democracy meant the Greek form of government. As Jefferson says here, he says, he's speaking of the Greeks, the Athenian Greeks. They had just ideas of the value of personal liberty, but none at all of the structure of government best calculated to preserve it. They knew no medium between a democracy, and then in parentheses, the only pure republic, but impractical beyond the limits of a town, close parentheses, and an abandonment of themselves to an aristocracy or a tyranny independent of the people. It seems not to have occurred that where the citizens cannot meet to transact their business in person, they alone have the right to choose the agents who shall transact it. In other words, they hadn't thought of a representative government. And that in this way, a republican or popular government of the second grade of purity, in other words, a republic isn't the very best we can get. A democracy would be, but it won't work beyond in anything larger than a city-state. And in this way, a republican or popular government of the second grade of purity may be exercised over any extent of country. And then he goes on to say, in his letter to Isaac H. Tiffany on August 26, 1816, "The introduction of this new principle of representative democracy has rendered useless almost everything written before on the structure of government. And in a great measure relieves our regret if the political writings of Aristotle or of any other ancient have been lost or are unfaithfully rendered or explained to us. My most earnest wish is to see the republican element of popular control pushed to the maximum of its practical exercise. I shall then believe that our government may be pure and perpetual. Accept my respectful salutations, T. Jefferson." So
just so you understand. I mean, it's so easy here in 2003 for people to play games with these words. And it's just, it's useful to understand what the meanings of the words were and when and why those meanings changed. Why those meanings changed. If they actually had dictionaries, yes, indeed. I mean, you know, going back thousands of years. If you look at the dictionary before 1787, democracy was defined more or less, I mean, different dictionaries in different ways, but more or less as a government that was a government which is governed by its citizens. And a republic was defined as a government which is governed by its citizens. And when it came time to sell the Constitution, and James Madison had really done his homework, he spent about 4 years just buried in the books, read everything there was about Greek democracy, read everything there was about the Roman Republic, investigated the Haudenosaunee, the Iroquois Confederacy, learned everything he could find out. And when it came time to sell this new form of government, which was more closely based on the Iroquois Confederacy than it was on Greek democracy or the Roman Republic, when you look at the details of it, when it came time, and it was really more of a synthesis of the Iroquois Confederacy and the evolving nature of representative government in England. And also what had been started in the Low Counties in the, I'm forgetting the name of it, but there was an experiment that took place in northern Germany and southern Holland. And it was a confederation of states that started in the 1300s, as I recall, and dissolved in the 1500s. 1542 sticks in my head. And, I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, it was this confederation of city-states, but it was really for trade purposes. But it was a representative form of government. It was a form of democracy. It was one of the first that emerged among the modern European states. And then, you know, and then went under. And then, of course, in Athens, or in Venice, there were a few city-states, Venezia, Venice, Italy, and so on, that experimented with democracy and with representative democracy. But really nothing like what the founders came up with. I mean, in 1776, when democracy, what we today call democracy, what they then would have called a republican form of government or a republican democracy, when they developed that at that time, it was a unique thing. It was a truly unique thing. And maybe, you know, the change of language over time, I mean, you could say, well, maybe we call it a democracy now because the Democrats were in power for 40 years, more or less, after Roosevelt, and he used the word democracy a lot because it sounded like Democrats. That's possible. I frankly haven't, you know, Lincoln was very fond of the word democracy. Go find, if you're curious, the speech that Lincoln gave on Jefferson's birthday. In 1859, he was not yet president of the United States. In fact, he had not yet run for president of the United States. And he gave a speech on Jefferson's birthday in which he said, "All hail Jefferson, the founder of democracy in America." I'm paraphrasing. I don't have it in front of me, and I don't remember the exact words. But he goes on repeating several different times, Abraham Lincoln, a Republican, in this speech about how Jefferson was responsible for creating democracy in America and what a sacred and extraordinary thing it was. So I would say by that time, the language had changed. The meaning of the word had changed. And then, of course, Newt Gingrich came along with his word list during the Reagan Revolution. And he had this list of nasty words to connect to liberals and positive words to connect to Republicans. And the Republicans got very good at their sound bites. And one of the points made during that time was that we got to stop calling this thing a democracy because it sounds too much like Democrats. And we don't want to be giving the Democrats any debating points. We need to inform people that this is not a democracy, this is a republic. Well, Abraham Lincoln would disagree. Thomas Jefferson might agree. So you can take it however you want it. I am perfectly happy to call this a democracy since the rest of the world does. Seriously. You didn't see people marching in China, in Tiananmen Square, saying, "We want a republic." They said, "We want democracy." You didn't see people dying in South Africa standing in front of police, protesting. You didn't see people participating in resistance in South Africa saying, we want a republic. No, they were saying, we want democracy. You didn't see Mahatma Gandhi shaking off the British Empire by refusing to play the British game of how to make salt or not spinning their own clothes but sending the cotton to England so that the clothes could be made there and then shipped back to India to be purchased. You know, the logo for his revolution was a spinning wheel, Gandhi, because the spinning wheels were against the law in India. Only the British factories were allowed to make cloth. And when Gandhi confronted that with his nonviolent but very direct form of resistance and the laws about who can make salt and all these kinds of things, when Gandhi confronted those things, he didn't say, we want a republic. He said, we want democracy. So the language thing, Newt still likes to play those games. I'm really not up for it. Medicare beneficiaries will not be allowed to buy insurance to cover their share of prescription drug costs. This is the gotcha. And it's slowly starting to dawn on people who are old enough to get Medicare or people who within the next 20 years will be old enough to get Medicare. That when George Bush said, isn't this wonderful? You will now have a choice. We are giving people choices. Yes. And if you choose to buy private health insurance to cover your prescription drugs, you are forced by this law. You are required by this law to drop your participation in Medicaid, or at least in this aspect of it. And then you are at the mercy of the health insurance company. And the health insurance companies are going to take the healthy people. And when people start running up big drug bills, they're going to drop those people, as they do today. This is not rocket science. And those people are going to go back on Medicare, and what we're going to end up with is a government-run system that is only dealing with the really sick people and all of the expenses, and a private system that is only dealing with the healthy people and making the most profit. We know, we absolutely know, that Medicare is delivering services more efficiently and at lower cost than any health insurance company in America. And yet we get this general craziness. Why? Because millions of dollars have been handed to our elected representatives in this Democratic Republic. Time for a change. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Quick question. Ever had a cold that only lasted 4 hours? Anybody? Then why take a 4-hour cold medicine? Instead, take a Leave Cold and Sinus. One pill has the strength to give you 12 hours of relief. No stuffy nose, no throbbing head, all day. So what's it going to be? 12 hours of relief or symptoms that interrupt your day? Do I really need to ask?
Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill, 12 hours of relief. Use as directed.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen, for the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service.
Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy.
I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years
I'm talking about the tread on a tire. Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Well, we know where we're going, but we don't know where we've been. And we know what we're knowing, but we can't say what we've seen. And we're not little children, and we know what we want, and the future is certain. Give us time to work it out.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison instead of right-wing think tanks and the RNC. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And David in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, David, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to say that basically I come from a Republican background, and this Bush administration is totally criminal. These guys are doing exactly what you said. They're setting up a fascist system, and it has nothing to do with democracy. It doesn't have anything to do with the republic. It has, its roots are coming straight out of Germany.
Yeah, well, actually, Germany's roots came straight out of European feudalism, which came out of the Roman Empire, and it goes all the way back to Gilgamesh 6,000 years ago in Sumeria, when this crazy idea first started. But yeah, I agree.
But
so what are you going to do about it, David?
Well, it's real hard to get through to the people that are on the Limbaugh Kool-Aid. Basically, they repeat everything that Rush Limbaugh says and Sean Hannity and the like, and it's hard to get through to them because they think that you're un-American.
I don't think that those are the people that we need to get through to, David. Rush, even if Rush has the 6 million listeners he claims, and the odds are, being in this business and knowing how numbers get played with, he probably has about a fifth of that. But even if he did, that's not that many people in this nation. We've got 150 million or so people who are eligible to vote, and what I'm more concerned, frankly, I'm not so concerned with trying to convert those people who have bought into bizarre ideological religions like those preached by Hannity and Limbaugh and the extreme conservatives and the libertarians. I'm far more concerned about the impact that those kinds of preachings are having been filtered through several layers when they appear in small form on the CBS Evening News. In other words, the impact that they're having on the main street America. The people who listen to conservative talk radio and really actually believe that they're hearing the truth, I think are lost. You know, it's almost not worth trying to bring them back because they are so well indoctrinated. Like you said, it's like Jim Jones. It's like they've been sucking on the Kool-Aid. But we've got to reach the average people, the average working people in America who really are confused. You know, they're going, what's going on with this? You got these two sides that are yelling at each other, and I don't understand the issues on either side. What do you think?
I think the place to start is with the unanswered questions involving 9/11. Like, how can they have a plane up in 18 minutes to see what's going on with Payne Stewart when he died, but the planes that crashed into the buildings were up for over half an hour, you know, and there's no air defense, and that's the most secure airspace in the world. I mean, come on, give me a break. And every time we turn around, Bush is trying to block any type of investigation, and, you know, he hides documents, and it's horrible. I mean, that's the place to start. We need to get the truth out about that because that's what brought on the Patriot Act, and the Patriot Act is the most ridiculous. It's totally un-American.
Well, let me interrupt you, David. That's not what brought on the Patriot Act. That was the excuse. They dragged that Patriot Act had been written years in most large parts of it had been written years before the fact, and you know, and they started planning that thing as soon as these guys came into power. What you're suggesting is bringing down an administration by scandal, pointing out that George Bush knew that 9/11 was probably going to happen, didn't know necessarily the details, but you know, outing him as somebody who was not strong on defense, and that may or may not happen. I'm more concerned with the philosophical underpinnings of this stuff. You know, the whole idea that corporations should be running government, which is what we have right now. All of these large pieces of legislation have been done by and for the big corporations, and they're damaging not just the average working people in America, but democracy itself. And I want that message to get out. I think that's more important than whether or not George Bush is corrupt, because Bush will come and go, but the ideology is going to stay. David, thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen. For the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some introductions can lead to trouble, especially when the newcomers wipe out the natives. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. You might not have heard of the small Indian mongoose, the cane toad, or the Brazilian pepper, but these species have caused the extinctions of many others. Daniel Simberloff is a biologist at the University of Tennessee. He says introduced plants and animals, those brought to new places by people, are one of the greatest threats to endangered species, second only to habitat loss. Simberloff says non-native plants and animals can do extreme damage after their introduction into a new environment. A prime example is the small Indian mongoose, brought to a number of islands, including Hawaii, to control rats in sugarcane fields.
It's not done a very good job of controlling rats, but it's attacked many birds, mammals, and reptiles, and some amphibians, and it's actually caused the global extinction of at least 30 species and subspecies of vertebrates in various places.
Simberloff says the U.S. Endangered Species Act is the best law in the world to provide for the rehabilitation of threatened plants and animals, but he says it does not keep potentially harmful species from being introduced in the first place.
The Endangered Species Act has been used in rehabilitation plans to have a component of the plan be to attempt to eradicate or at least lessen the populations of some introduced species that's causing the problem. but it's not been used to keep out species.
Simberloff says the federal government needs to tighten its regulation of imported plants and animals to protect native species. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Network transforming the world by revitalizing democracy or a constitutionally limited democratic republic. For those of you who are wordsmiths, whatever your thoughts are on that may be. Let's I just want to run through. There's a few things here in the news that I think are worth putting on our radar screen, you know, pointing out, noticing. I remember back I'm not sure the exact year. It was the year that Russia was holding their first election, and I was in Russia. I was in Kaliningrad, what used to be called Königsberg when the Germans owned it. It was a separate. It's actually separated from Russia by a bit of Poland And it was a separate zone. It was a high security zone. It was a military area that nobody was allowed into when the Soviet Union existed. And it was really bizarre because when I arrived, it was right after the Soviet Union fell. And the airport that we flew into in Kaliningrad, there was just one guy running the airport and doing everything. And he just stamped my passport and said, "Welcome to Russia." And you know, when I flew out, he wasn't even there. It was an old woman with a broom who was, you know, bent over sweeping the floor. It was about 7 o'clock in the morning, and I flew out on the airline of Denmark. I forget the name of the airline. And anyhow, it was rough time in Russia. And this transformation was just beginning. Basically, a government had fallen and another government was appearing. And I remember turning on the TV. I was staying with a family. The wife was German and ethnically German. She spoke German and Russian. She'd been raised in Russia. But her parents had been Germans who were caught behind the lines at the end of World War II, and they taught her German as a child. And so she spoke German, and I communicated with her auf Deutsch. And her husband was a ethnic Russian, and he didn't speak any German, so I couldn't talk to him, but I could talk to his wife. And they had a couple of kids, and there was it's a long story. But anyhow, I was staying with his family out in the hinterlands of Kaliningrad, and it was the day of the day before the election. And the TV was on, and this guy is on TV, and he's waving his fist up and down, pounding his fist in the round, and I'm like, you know, and suddenly Olga and her husband, whose name escapes me now, started laughing, and I said, "What's so funny?" Warum sind Sie glücklich? And she said, "He just said that anybody who votes for him in the election tomorrow is going to get a turkey and a pint of vodka, or a quart of vodka, or a gallon of whatever it was, of vodka, a liter of vodka." And I said, "You're kidding." And she said, "No." And she just thought this was the funniest thing. And I said, and then they switched on the TV. Then they flashed to these two commentators in one of these sets that looked like something out of a 1960s newscast, you know, with the painted plywood newscast sets. And a man and a woman, and they were in Russian having this very intense discussion. And I said, "What are they talking about now?" And she said, "They're trying to figure out where he's going to get the turkeys from." And there was no discussion. And I said, "Who was this guy?" It was Vladimir Zhirinovsky, who came in third in Russia's election last week. And Zhirinovsky, if you really want to know about him, read the interview that I think Playboy, it was either Playboy or Penthouse, it was one of the men's magazines back about that time. This would have been more or less 6-8 years ago, something like that, maybe 9 years ago, did with him. And he just laid it all out. I mean, the guy's a nationalist, a racist, a xenophobe. Adolf Hitler is one of his heroes. And his party, of course, ran in the election. And here, where is it? I'm looking for this. Yeah, I don't have the name of his party. But anyway, so Russia, and Olga made the point that this was, that Russia as a nation had a 1,000-year-long history, and they had czars and they had emperors, and they'd never had democracy. I mean, Germany had at least had democracy for a little while before Hitler turned it back into a dictatorship. But the Russians had never had democracy. This was their first democratic election in history. And she said, "We just don't know how to do it. We haven't got this stuff figured out." And they're still trying to figure it out. And they're looking to the role model for democracy of the world for clues or cues as to how to do it. How do you do democracy? And who are they looking to? Of course, they're looking to us, to the United States. And you've got this guy, Vladimir Putin, who was the head of the KGB. Now, I remember the KGB. I was in Russia before the end of the USSR, and I was in East Germany and in East Berlin before the wall came down. I've been followed by the KGB. I've had hotel rooms torn apart by the KGB. I've talked to people who were terrified of the KGB and who had had encounters with the KGB. These were nasty people. I mean, this was not just a state security apparatus. This was a state terror apparatus. And Felix Dzerzhinsky, I'm probably misremembering his last name, they just recently tore down his statue. Well, it was, you know, when Russia went down. But the guy who founded the KGB, and it was not just as an intelligence apparatus. It was as a tool of terror for the state. And therefore, the KGB has been renamed now and theoretically put under democratic control, under the control of the parliament, of the Duma. But the reality in Russia is getting pretty strange. And in large part, I think this tracks back to their adopting, when they adopted democracy, they adopted democracy of the modern-day conservative-slash-Republican form as opposed to the Franklin Roosevelt Democrat form, those being basically your two choices these days, because the world has changed enough that the classic Jeffersonian form, well, it's a lot closer to what the Democrats are advocating, but, you just couldn't quite pull it off right now. We've had discussions about that before. So anyhow, they're saying so what they did was they took all these state industries and sold them off for a song, and you had these new feudal lords arise, the heads of these corporate consortiums, and companies were buying up companies, and they didn't have things like the Sherman Antitrust Act. They hadn't gone through that maturity of democracy, and so now we're seeing a state that is teetering on the edge of going one of two ways. And I'm following this with some fascination. I will be in Russia again in April. Pravda actually wrote an article about me recently. And I'll be speaking at the university in Kaliningrad. And just, which direction is Putin going to go? Because here's the guy who was the head of the KGB. George Bush said when he met him, he looked into his eyes and saw his soul and saw there a fellow something or other. I forget the exact quote, something to that effect. A brother, But Putin is raising some flags. There's some folks who are concerned. And I am hopeful that he will get it, that democracy is a good thing. That democracy, even if it means his losing his own personal power, is going to be what will save Russia. Because it looks like in this election, which a number of observers, the OSCE, for example, are concerned might have had a few irregularities, shall we say. An OSCE, this is from the Associated Press, an OSCE report accused United Russia, that's Putin's party, of using public workers to push its campaign. See, it's against the law here to have civil servants, public employees, go out and campaign for you. It would be like George Bush saying to everybody in the Department of Motor Vehicle, well, that's a state function. It would be like a governor of a state telling everybody at the Department of Motor Vehicles that they had to go out and campaign for people. It said the government pressured news media, especially in the provinces, to limit opposition views, and that there were cases of voter intimidation and of police obstructing campaigns. The report also said the advantage normally enjoyed by incumbents had been, quote, overwhelmingly distorted, end quote, by including the names of 29 regional administrators on voter lists. It said most of them were unlikely to give up their high post to take a seat in the Duma. Putin has boosted the economy by introducing reforms, but has been accused of stifling dissent and tightening control over the media. Now, this is where it's somebody standing on the outside who knows a little bit about this, but not a lot. I'm not a scholar of Russia, but I certainly have been reading everything I can find. It's really interesting. He's got this guy who is the head of one of the largest oil companies in Russia in prison now, because the guy was basically, according to some news reports, because the guy was starting to get politically active, and Putin was basically saying, I don't care if you become a multi-zillionaire, just don't mess in politics. That's my territory. And this guy made the mistake of thinking that he lived in a democracy. Or Putin is actually starting to clean up corruption. And this guy became a plutocrat, a wealthy elite, and was abusing his power and privilege that came from all that wealth from running this giant oil company. And Putin said, enough, we're not going to allow such corruption in our business community, and put the guy in jail. Which story is it? I honestly don't know the answer. But Putin has boosted the economy. The reforms, the democratic reforms, have been very good in some ways for Russia, although they now have a much higher infant mortality rate, much higher rates of poverty than they ever had, And yet, you know, I mean, this is the balance in a free society to some extent. And this is where, you know, Franklin Roosevelt comes in and he says, no, we can have a free society and we don't have to have people starving in the streets. And this is what the Russians haven't figured out yet. It's almost like Ayn Rand, like her reactivity. When Ayn Rand was a child, and that wasn't her name then, I forget her name, but when she was a child, her father owned a small business, a small retail store, and the Bolshevik Revolution happened, and the Bolsheviks, of course, nationalized everything. They said, we are no longer going to allow private control of the means of production or distribution. That was, you know, Karl Marx's idea. No more. It's all going to be run by we the people, the state, which is a turns out, history shows, is a bad idea. And they took her father's business, and she and her father, you know, out on the street, and she, being a bright, industrious young woman, worked her way up to university, went to the university in Kiev, studied political science in the Soviet Union, where they basically said there are two systems. There is the communist system, where everybody is taken care of and protected, and there is the American system, where big capitalists rule everybody, and it's a terrible thing, and, you know, it's capitalism or communism. Well, see, really, capitalism and communism are economic systems, not political systems. And really what it is, if you want to look at the political systems, was democracy versus tyranny or versus dictatorship, because the communist system had become a dictatorship. You could argue it was right from the beginning. I'm not suggesting, I don't think that that's what Marx had in mind, certainly, but, you know, the law of unintended consequences and all that. And his notion was just pure, plain old flawed. And it's fascinating to read, with the hindsight of history now, to read Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto, because you get it that Marx had figured out a few things, but, boy, some of the conclusions that he drew were just off. But anyhow, so Ayn Rand comes back to the, she comes to the United States. She leaves the Soviet Union, comes to the United States and thinks, well, there's really only two kinds of government. There's capitalism and communism. And she's never figured out that there's a difference between democracy and dictatorship. And she never really understood what even democracy was. And she founded the libertarian movement. But I digress. My concern here is this thing about Putin. The Bush administration joined European human rights officials on Monday in expressing concern about Russian parliamentary elections on Sunday that delivered big victories to allies of President Vladimir Putin. The election progress represented a regression from democratic reforms Russia adopted after the collapse of the Soviet Union. This, according to the Associated Press, the OSCE, which monitors the elections, expressed concerns about the fairness of the election campaign. What is going to be the future of Russia? I mean, this is a country that still has, what, something like 7,000 nuclear weapons, many of them easily pointed at us. I think we ought to be paying more careful attention, right? I think we need to be paying very careful attention to this, to Russia and to China. These are both very real potential problems. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Mom, I think it's time we had the talk.
Oh, dear. We did that years ago. Remember I used the fruit basket?
Mom, remember when I introduced you to pedicures and power shopping?
That was dope.
Dope, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're going to learn how to feel like a goddess.
Let me get the fruit basket.
Mom, listen, for the holidays, I'm getting you a Venus razor. You get the closest shave and silky smooth skin.
That sounds ripe.
Fresh, Mom.
Let the women in your life in on the secret of the Venus razor. Venus from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly, and they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Show.
We caught somebody doing something right. Fred D'Amato, Mount Pocono, Pennsylvania. He put a sign out in his front yard that says, "Support our troops, impeach the Bush administration." Of course, Mount Pocono jumped all over him. The borough councilman, Francis O'Boyle, said, "The last couple words is what's the problem. I don't think it's right to put up a sign like that and say those things." The lawyer says it's protected First Amendment speech. John Finnerty, the borough council president, says, "Well, if we could all express our thoughts on a piece of plywood, just think what the neighborhood would look like. It might be a slight infringement of First Amendment rights," making him take down his sign. He's facing $500 a day fines for not having his sign. However, the story in the newspaper of Mount Pocono, New York, says that D'Amato removed the sign, but on Sunday said he planned to put it back up again. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, "I don't boogie"?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Seen him as we live.
Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network in our chat room. By the way, thanks to the folks in our chat room for showing up today. It is such an honor to have people hang out with me during these 3 hours in real time. And I talk with them during the breaks, and it's a hoot. And if you've never dropped into our chat room, I encourage you to check it out. It's only, you can access it anytime, but there's only folks in it during the 3 hours that we're on the air here. You can find the link off tomhartman.com. But anyhow, in our chat room, Timber Monkey says, conservatives think Ebenezer Scrooge sold out at the end of A Christmas Carol, at the end of that story by Dickens. I thought that's great. Our program today was produced by Louise Hartman and engineered in Detroit by Shar Jones. Thank you, Shar, for a great day and a great job. Back to the news real quickly here. Voting machines are in the news. Ohio has said that they came up with 57 problems that the voting machines have. One of them is not the fact that they don't produce a voter-verified paper trail. Ohio has decided, we don't need no stinking receipts. Of course, Diebold, the company that makes these things, I mean, their ATM machines print receipts, their ticket machines print receipts, their subway machines print, everything prints receipts except their voting machines. Strangest thing. Down in Florida, Jeb Bush's government has looked into the situation and has said, quote, Florida has led the nation in providing security and certification. At this point in time, with the satisfaction of the supervisors continuing to show, the fact that we haven't had complaints from voters, I have a high confidence level that is in machines without any kind of paper trail. Florida does not intend to put paper trails on their voting machines for the 2004 election. And then you've got Howard Dean weighing in on this. He says, one of the most shocking things in this administration is that the head of a company named Diebold, which makes voting machines, sent around a letter in Ohio promising to do whatever it takes to get the president elected in Ohio. And he says, I hear this question almost every day. If I do 4 or 5 meetings in a day, almost always somebody brings it up during the day. We don't know a lot about this, but I'm worried about it. And he talks about how he's going to get, we're going to get on top of this. Good on you, Howard. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for joining us today. Thank you so much. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. But this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Copyright 2003. Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here. What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community. I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool. I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood. Doug Steffen's Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network.